You know, we're going to be learning about that today as we talk about what we can learn from Elizabeth, because she was a person of amazing faith in God's promises that caused her to have so much hope. And then the result was it brought her peace. It brought her husband peace. And it also brought Mother Mary, Jesus' mother, great peace to know that she would come and be the mother of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I want to tell you this, that we're in a good time right now because it's a moment for us to really check on our faith. Man, where are we? Can we believe that God has brought us this far in this project? You know, He's given us this property. Really, it was donated, right? That we had this design that came up that was amazing, that we could actually build on this property. That, and you, if you're visiting us, like, where is this aforementioned property? Well, if you go, instead of left, to go back down to Mehe'ula, you take a right, it's about half a mile or less down the street to the right. And you get, where's that property? There's a hole in the ground. Is it? Yes, that's a water quality retention basin right now, but we're going to transform it and see that God has a place for us. Isn't that exciting news? Yeah, maybe not starting in March, maybe could be March, but we're just waiting and praying. Would you pray along with us that the Department of Planning and Permitting would grant us the permit and so that we can start construction anytime soon? Because I know we think, didn't we just have groundbreaking, right? Yes, yes. Well, that's symbolic of what's to come, and it's going to come. So I'm excited about what's to come, and I'm just excited for just the leadership of the church that you have, because they have so much faith. Then they know that it's God's promise and He's taken us this far, right? Just like our Red Sea moment, right? We were at the Red Sea. We don't want to go backwards, but we just want God to open up the doors so we can enter into His promise that He has for us. So this morning, we're going to be looking at another story of somebody that experienced Christmas and her perspective. And like Pastor Mike said, we're going to be looking at you know, it's all F's, because last week was Joseph, and he was the father, right? Not the biological father necessarily, but the earthly father to Jesus, right? So that's the F. Today, it's a friend, and her name is Elizabeth. And while you're thinking friend, well, we're just calling her, maybe the first faithful cousin, right? We don't know if she was the first cousin, but she was a relative. So, you know, in Hawaii, if you're somebody's just kind of distant resident, relative, you can call the other person what? Hey, you, my cuz. How's it cuz? How's it cuz, right? So Elizabeth was Mary's cuz. And that's what we're going to be talking about her life today. The talk about the power of belief. Not our power of having strong belief, but the power to have strong belief in the fact that we have a faithful God. And when He promises, He is going to fulfill those promises, because He is a faithful God. And we're going to be talking about that kind of faith that Elizabeth have. And let me ask you this question, right? Because her faith produced hope that caused peace. But in the midst of what's happening in this Christmas season, right, with all the things that are happening, parties that are happening, Christmas shopping that you need to do, right, and decorations that need to be made, all the things that surround Christmas, it should bring peace, but a lot of times it doesn't, right? It brings anxiety, right? It brings worry. How am I going to pay for all these Christmas presents? Who should I add to the list this year? Who should I delete from the list? All those can be anxiety producing. Just like it was when we were in that board meeting, it could have been anxiety producing and worrisome bringing. But instead, we just felt, God, this is on You. And You've got it. And if You got it, with all that we've experienced so far, You've got this as well. So I pray this morning that you would know that whatever you're going through in your situation that could cause you worry and anxiety, you know that God's got it. Is that good news? Yeah. God, can you say God's got it? Amen. God's got it. And that's what we learned from Elizabeth this morning. And you know, like, why is she a friend, Elizabeth, a friend of Mary? I want you to watch this real quick clip just to kind of picture this moment they had together where it showed that Elizabeth was such a friend to Mary. Watch this.
In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Just picture that scene, right? They're cousins, right? So you get Mary coming to visit the house of Zechariah, and that, which is her husband, right? Elizabeth's husband, and comes to visit Elizabeth. Well, we all know, right? Is Mary married at this moment? No, right? When you think about it, it would be shame to welcome somebody who's pregnant and not married, right? Elizabeth could have said at that moment, "Why are you here? You're bringing shame to our family. You should not associate with us with what you have done to get Hapai, to get Carrie, without being married. How dare you come and visit us?" But was that her reception? That was not her exception, or the reception that she gave. Mary said, "Welcome. Wow. I know the promise that God gave you and gave us about what will happen. You will be with child. And instead of shunning you, instead of asking you all these questions, I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to welcome you, accept you. Not only that, I'm going to celebrate with you that promise that you will be the carrier, Mary, of our Savior of the world." And she expressed her friendship that no one else at that time would have, right? Everyone was shunning Mary, but instead, Elizabeth embraced her cousin Mary at that moment. Even if it seemed that circumstances around dictated that you shouldn't accept this person, right? Because of what she did that was shameful, she accepted her. I don't know about you, but I would like friends like that, right? When things happen to me that maybe is shameful or something I did wrong or something, but that they would look beyond that and still accept me as a friend, right? Don't we need friends like that? Family, people like that, that can do that and still believe in God's promises for us. That was probably Mary's only friend she had at that moment. And she is the one carrying the good news, right, of Jesus. And Elizabeth had to believe along with Mary about that good news that she would bring into the world. That's Jesus. And it's not in your notes, but I want you to read just more of the account of this this perspective through Mary of this whole time of Christmas. And so it's not in your notes, but I want you to read with me on the screen about the context of this situation. So let's read. Ready, go. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. I want you to underline that if you have your pen. Careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. Well, you would think that that would be something that would characterize them, especially Zechariah, right? What was his job? He was a priest, right? He was the one that went into the temple of the Lord, the actual physical temple of the Lord, and he would do the priestly duties. And of course, if you're going to be doing priestly duties, you better be carrying out the Lord's commandments to a T. And that was what he did. And so he and her, right, were marked as people that were pono, or righteous. They did what God asked them to do, and they did it well. And they were faithful. They were people who really wanted to follow God's commandments. And we can learn much from not only his life from here in a negative way, because he didn't really follow through, but she did. Elizabeth did, and she believed the promise that she would have a son in her old age. And she was really one of the first champions of faith in the Jesus period, right? Because we have so many examples of champions of faith before Jesus in the Old Testament, right? People who were champions of the faith, but this is one that shined brightly for us, and we can learn so much from Elizabeth. So today, we're going to be focusing on three things we can learn from her life, Elizabeth, because she's kind of an obscure, not well-known character. And after, really, Jesus is born, we never hear about Elizabeth again. So this is really just the time that we get to hear about Elizabeth and what she can teach us today. So are you ready to learn about faith that will produce hope, and then the effect is to have peace? Are you ready to learn about that? Yes. Okay. So in your first point right there, I want you to write, well, before that, I want to give you a definition of faith. And it's not my definition. It's not Merriam-Webster's definition. It's a definition from the author of this person who wrote Hebrews. We're not sure who wrote Hebrews, but it's from chapter 11, verse 1. And you've probably heard it before, but let's read the definition of faith. Ready, go. Faith is the what? Assurance of things hoped for, right? Faith is what you hope for, and the conviction of things not seen. The world will tell you, I gotta what? See it to believe it, right? The Bible and God says, right? You gotta believe it and then you'll see it. You get that? It's real different. Believe it first because then you'll see it. That's what faith is. Because God has His promises. His promises sometimes we cannot see happening yet. But He's saying, you can trust me, because even if you don't see it, have the conviction that it will come to pass. In other words, it will be fulfilled. Maybe not in your timing, but surely in my timing, it will be fulfilled. And that's what the definition of faith is. And we can learn about this kind of faith that Elizabeth had. So one of the first things that I want you to write in notes is find peace in God's promises. Find peace in God's promises. You see, Elizabeth found great peace in God's promise. The promise that she will give birth to a son in her old age. And not only that she would have a child in her old age, but it would be not only a child, it would be a son. And not only would it be a son, it would be a child who was brought into this world for a special mission. And that was the promise that was given to her. And she clung well and tightly to that promise that I'm going to be pregnant in my old age. And she was a champion of faith because, again, she believed not only for her own pregnancy, but she also believed and trusted God for His promise for her cousin's pregnancy, right? And especially that kind of pregnancy where it wasn't where Joseph was the biological father. She believed that promise. And she believed that she would have a special son, and that peace would allow her to celebrate and embrace her cousin Mary. And see, God's trustworthy promises should produce peace in our lives. And I'm sure when Pastor Mike and Dean Hazama shared the shortfall, right, of $1 million, I'm sure, right, if you were honest, your first response is, oh, no, right? What, we come this far, we cannot even see the ending. Oh, no. Collateral, my house? No ways. You're not going to ask my hard working money, church. I'm not going to give up that, right? I mean, come on, right? Just thinking, hey, I'm sure some of your blood pressure went up, right? Oh, is that extra basket going to be passed around this morning, Pastor? You know what? You're thinking like that, right? What? Whatever, right? Oh, I'm right. Wait, forget. Didn't we have a promise for this place? And then we already bringing up anxiety, right? Come on. In this case, for Elizabeth, the promise that she would become pregnant and she would have a son with a mission, it didn't bring anxiety. It didn't bring frustration. It brought instead peace. And we'll catch this further interaction with Mary that she had with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And it's not in your notes, but I want you to read with me on the screen this whole interaction that they had. Ready, go. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Woohoo! Have you seen an angel, guys? No. I asked this question. Has anyone seen an angel? Pastor Mark raised his hand last night, and he said, "Yeah, I've seen one." And he pointed to his wife. "That's my angel, right?" He says, "Pastor Mark, I said, I thought angels were like mainly men, but that's okay, right? That's his angel wife. But anyway, yes, right? I would be scared and frightened if I saw an angel too, right? You would be too. But the angel said, what? "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Let's continue on in the story. "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be the great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or drink alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth, and he will turn many Israelites to their Lord, their God." Let's continue. "He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah." If you know the Old Testament, Elijah was one of the most powerful, well-known prophets, right? He will have that kind of spirit, right? "He will prepare the people for what? The coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." It goes on, right? Yes, Zechariah said to the angel, okay, he said it like this, "How can I be so sure this will happen?" He's scared, right? "I am old now, and my wife is also, well along in her years." Scared, right? And this is what it's in your bulletin. Let's read. Ready? Go. "Then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." You're a priest. You should have great faith for the impossible to have a representative, an angel, face to face, you can see, and you still cannot believe me, I'm going to shut you up. Just think, I was thinking, why did he choose to shut him up? He could have blinded him. He could have done many things to him. Couldn't the angel or couldn't God? But I thought, oh, he was a priest. And in order for him to do his priestly duties, right, he had to what? Speak. You're not going to have faith in this promise that I'm going to give you, this great and marvelous, glorious promise. I'm going to shut you up so you cannot do your priestly duties until this is fulfilled. I got to actually show it to you to have it happen for you to believe. So you shut them up. Shut them up for that whole time. Now, I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen with you if you don't believe enough, right? He's going to shut you up. But something will happen because God has promised you great promises for your life. He's given his promises in his word, right? He's spoken it to you. Maybe somebody else had a vision or spoke God's promise into your life to remember his great and marvelous promises and spoke over your life. But you go, oh, no ways, right? And God says, no, I have these promises for you. Believe it. What do I have to do to you? I don't want to shut you up, but if I got to do shut you up or shut you down in somewhere, because I want this promise to be fulfilled. I want to show up in your life and do some amazing things. Just wait. It's not on your timing. It's going to be on my timing that I'm going to show up. And yes, for them, it's a birth, so it's going to take some time. And Mary's birth is going to take some time. Can you wait in my timing, not your timing? But I will show up. You see, this scripture was just read about her husband, Zechariah, and I thought it was so ironic because his name, Zechariah, right? His name, Zechariah, in Hebrew means Yahweh or God, right? The Lord Almighty, God, Yahweh, remembers. But we find it so kind of ironic that Zechariah doesn't want to remember the promise of God. He actually forgets. Later we'll see he forgets the promise that he would have a son and you should name him what? John. He forgets that. Zechariah was so rigid, firm in his thinking that this couldn't happen. This kept, right? It's beyond the physical, right? It's something supernatural. And he was so rigid in his belief that he couldn't change his thinking. Even when the angel that Elizabeth experienced. You see, peace, let me tell you, definition of it in biblical understanding is not the absence of hard times, conflict, struggle, or warfare. You can wait, what? Let's pray for world peace. Well, you can pray for world peace, but I believe world peace in our definition will never happen because there will always be conflicts that are happening, right, in the world. Always be warfare, somebody going against each other. That's not the definition of peace, biblical peace. Peace is this, midst of having struggle, conflict, right? And challenges in life, like for our situation, it's this challenge that we're facing, a faith building moment for our property, right? It's in the midst of that, that we have a sense that God will have everything in control. Everything will work out and God has got it. And in the midst of all that's happening, that God's got it. I'm not saying that we neglect the difficulties that are there. I'm just saying that in the midst of all that, we can say, God, you've got it. You've got it. We don't need to worry. We don't have to have extra anxiety because he's got it. In the midst of whatever we go through, he's got it. It's all F's, and we talked about this before, right? All F's, big F's. I've looked on a website and think, what do Americans struggle with the most? And first F is what? Your finances, right? Right. Aren't we struggling with, in our mind, a lot of times with our finances, right? How are we going to pay for that? How are we going to afford that, right? Don't we struggle with this? I've got myself into this deep financial situation. How am I going to get out of that situation? Finances, don't we? I can stress it out, even right now, right? All these Christmas things that you buy, go, how am I going to pay for that? Right? Then we struggle about other stuff, like our future, another F, our future, right? What's going to happen in the future, right? My job situation, what am I going to do? I'm not sure what my future holds. Can I retire now? And now we're in my retirement, maybe what should I do, right? Should I change jobs? We always fret about our future, don't we? Future, right? And the other one, I just say F, but it's like our fitness, our health. Don't we struggle? Maybe when you get older, like me, maybe you're like, oh, everything kind of like breaks down, right? Right? And if it's not you, it's your parents. It's not your parents, it's your friends. Somebody is going through a health issue and you worry about that. You think about that, spin over that, don't you? Right. And the other one, right? So it's like finances, my future, my fitness, or my health. And it's relationships. It's family, right? When I say family, it could be you and your spouse, you and your kids. We stress over that, don't we? How are we going to pay for their education? I mean, our kids, they're giving us hard times, all that, right? Should they live with us? We stress about them all the time. Can they live in Hawaii with the extremely high cost of living? Don't we stress about all those things? Come on. Could produce anxiety, yes. Just me and Jody, anybody else? We stress about that. And we go, God, you've got it, but yet I'm still feeling this. How can I get peace in the midst of all that's going on? I want to share you with the story. This happened to me this past week. It reminded me about stressing out and just having peace. Pastor Mike, Mike talked about his house, right? Well, I bought in this community 20 years ago. And my house is like across the street here. And it's, again, a house of blessing as well. We have a story to tell about how God provided us our Mauka home. Well, it's been 20 years since we moved in. And after raising two children in our home and everything else, 20 years later, what do you need with a house that's 20 years old? You need a new what? Roof. Oh, so God provided a new roof for us this past year. I said, great. So now it's time to upgrade some of the things that are in our house. So the appliances. So I think, 20 years old. Okay, now that my son is back from school, he's going back to school. He's living at home. My daughter's back now. Our refrigerator, freezer that we had before was too small, right? Because they eat out of cupboard and everything, right? So we need a new refrigerator, freezer. So I said, you know what? I'm going to refurnish this. So A couple months ago, I went on Facebook Marketplace, and I saw somebody selling, and our appliances are white. So we went on. I saw this refrigerator freezer on Facebook Marketplace, someplace in Mililani. 25, what a cubic, what is that, gallon? I don't know. Yeah, Kenmore Elite refrigerator, right? And I sold the current one I had, and I in the selling and buying this one, I upgraded for $50. Woohoo! Come on, more than that, right? Right. Okay. Then I was getting on a roll. I said, "Oh, I'm gonna look for a new range, one stove, because all rusty already, and mine the coil type. I'm not complaining, but you know what? I just like kind of upgrade them." So I went online again, and I saw somebody. They were gonna do a remodel. They're getting rid of their old. It's not old. It's 5 years old range, the kind you gotta slide in, right? So that's kind of like special kind. I said, "Oh, where's this in Mililani?" I looked down. Hey, that's somebody I kind of know. So I messaged them and said, hello, this is Pastor Earl. Right? I'm interested in it. Could you give me the measurements? And they did the measurements. And I said, wow, that'll fit perfectly my house and everything else. So I made an appointment to go see that person so that I could get it. And the person writes back. He said, oh, that's actually my parents' one. They're doing a remodeling, and they just want to get rid of it. I said, great, great, great. And who can I call, right? In the middle of the week, everyone's at work. So I call Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark meets me. And we go to the house. And I start, you know, as we say in Hawaii, talking story with them, finding out they grew up in my neighborhood. Oh, that family, like we practically family. Oh, so we talk. And I'm ready to give them money. He said, you know what? We'll give you the family and friend rate free. And isn't it amazing? Yes, yeah. I mean, God said, God, you provided. I was praying for you, you provided. And the lady said, you know what? We weren't going to give this to the person, but this is an extended warranty. The bug is still on extended warranty. Amazing. Now I get one glass top, you know, that kind of high maka kind of range. Oh, I put that in and everything else. So what's the last appliance I need for my house? I get two kids now, really, and they make plenty, plenty dishes. What was that? Dishwasher. So I was on a roll, right? So I said, okay, this is the next one. So I looked online again. I was like, whoa, this lady's selling her white one, right? She said, oh, interesting place. It's Fort Shafter. But I called her, and she was still available. So I said, shoes, I'm going, right? I go pick them up and everything else. And I go, I asked her, why are you selling it? And she says, well, because, you know, I'm thinking you even steal them or something, right? Why? And she said, well, you know, when we moved into our military housing, they gave us this old, I mean, we had a dishwasher, but this was like it was a crappy one. Yeah, crappy. So we decided to just remove that and buy our own for the time we're in Hawaii. Now we're PCSing, so we're going to put the old one back, and we want to sell the one we bought. Oh, this bugger is one Bosch one. You're the Bosch kind. It's 800 series. That's the kind high nose, high maka people get. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. So I went, I gave her the money. She didn't say family friend rate, but I gave her the money. Put it in my car. She helped me, and I drove it home. I go, whoo, easy. I get them. I went install the range, easy kind. Oh, this must be so easy, right? So I went home, and before that, I went to City Mill to pick up some fittings. Well, I get home. I try to do that, and my wife is on a trip right now. She's coming back today. And so I just was so excited. I wanted to install it, get it all working for her. Right? I said, honey, I bought this dishwasher. And she says, well, it's like a Christmas present. She says, oh, I hope you're not thinking that's my Christmas present. I said, what? I'm working all this hard for you. And then, what? Bought it for you. And look at your kitchen. It's going to be so beautiful. Anyway, she hasn't seen it in action yet. But anyway, so I go home, right? After going to the hardware store once, and I go, oh, man, wrong fitting. Shucks. So I go again. I go back, right? And I take a picture this time of what I needed for the fitting. So I go back and everything else. And I come home. It's still the wrong fitting. What a bugger thing. Yeah. You guys know what this is? Nope. Most of your Mako homes are fitted with this kind. It's called PEX pipe, right? They install, when they build the homes, they instead of using copper or brass, they use these PEX pipe because it's easy to install. Why? Because it's very what? Yeah, flexible, right? And so I went back the third time, and I got the right fittings, I thought, because this was still connected to the wall, right? And I came home, right? Wrong fittings because it's different kind pipe. It's like, oh, it's the third time, right? So, shucks. Man, I cannot believe. Because the third time, not only was a wrong fitting, the fourth time, I got the right fittings, everything else, but it was short. So I couldn't reach to connect it. I was tempted to push my daughter over, carry her, and I was like, no, she cannot do that, right? I was like, oh, no. The last time I'm driving down the hill. Now, I'm going to Home Depot now. The fourth or fifth time. I think this is the fourth time, but I cut this off already, right? I'm going to take this straight. And I was just so angry. Irritation turned to frustration. From frustration to anger. And anger to like just not grateful after all. I said, I'm going to call this lady back. I'm going to return the bugger. not fitting. This is like, I'm just angry. Really, I get the fourth time, shucks, you know? What is happening? This dishwasher from hell. Yeah, hi makamaka, that's why, right? What are you thinking? It was as if an angel of the Lord appeared to me in my car seat and said, oh, didn't I provide the refrigerator? Didn't I provide the stove? And I'm providing you a dishwasher. And why are you so complaining? Why are you complaining, right? Yes, it's hard and everything else but I want you to be like this. I want you to be flexible. I want you to be not like rigid, like, oh, let's go return. I want you to be flexible. Didn't I promise? Didn't I promise you that I was going to provide? Yes, yes. Can't you just be patient with me and just confess that you're not a fixer-aller? You needed some help, you know? You wanted to do all. Probably would have told me what I needed once, but did try to do it all myself, you know? But I finally got it, and I go, you know what, God, thank you for that message that I need to be flexible. I need to be, you know, when you say something, I'm just going to go with it. I'm not going to be rigid. So I'm going to keep this in my car as a reminder. God, when you promise me, can I just believe you and have this, just this faith that to believe, right? It's going to be my car right now. I'm just thinking, that's just my experience with something that was going to be so anxiety-producing, and I got anxious. I was going to just forget God's promise of His provision. But what are you going through right now, right? What are you believing in your life right now that you maybe need to be a little more flexible? You know what I'm saying? Just trust that God has promised you something. You just got to believe He's going to come true. Is there something like that you're going through right now? Just trust. This God is going to be there. So again, that's just my reminder. May Elizabeth's faith be a reminder to you that something may seem impossible, God can come through. He will provide. He will fulfill that promise, whatever you go through. So number two, I want you to learn. It's not in your notes, but let's read from verse 23. Ready? It's on your screen. Ready? Go. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. How kind the Lord is, she exclaimed. He has taken away my disgrace of having what? No children. And this is in your bulletin. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. I can't even read. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be what? Impossible with God. I want you to circle that. And you've heard this shared, right, before? Now you know the context of this phrase that we remember, that nothing is impossible with God. You see, she chose faith over what was physically, right, impossible for someone her age to conceive and have a child. She chose faith, to have amazing faith in God and His promise instead of what seemed impossible in the natural or in the physical. She had that kind of faith. We can so have that kind of faith for our lives, whatever we are facing today. Whatever we are facing today. Did I share with you that the finished story, my dishwasher works now? Yes. Thank you, Jesus, provided all. Really, I did all the calculations. $200, upgraded refrigerator, range, and dishwasher. Amazing, right? And new roof. God's provided. I'm not going to question Him again. Well, it's physically not going to be possible in our budget. He did. So that's just my story. What is your story? What is your story? You know, for her, Elizabeth's story was her getting a child. What is your story? And God could just say, you know what? I want you to believe me, even if you don't see. And in fact, this is a scripture. This is a verse that Paul, the apostle, shared with his Christian brothers and sisters in a church that he planted in Corinth. And he said, this is how I want you to live. Can you read it with me? For we live by faith, not by sight. That's in the New International Version. This is the New Living Translation's way of rendering it. It says this, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Okay? This is the Jesus book, the Good and Special Books version, right? Ready? And the last one should be Im. So, ready? Your best pigeon, ready, go. The way we live, we trust God every time. No matter, no can see him. Not him, no can see him, right? No matter, you no can see him. Yeah, you gotta trust God, what? Sometime. Every time. That's the pigeon, Hawaii pigeon waiting for Sam. Okay? But yes, trust God every time, even if we don't see him, no matter if we can see him or not, God is going to. That's the kind of faith he wants to build, and that's the way he's instructing us to live. Cannot live by the natural. Because we believe and we worship a supernatural God. Isn't that good news? He's a God of miracles. He can do it. As long as he promises, I want to say, right? And his promises are going to be trustworthy. You can be sure of that. He brought Jesus into the world with his great promise. All that was promised and predicted and prophesied in the past, it all came to happen, right? Yes, not in our timing. It's that some of those prophecies were 400 years, 500 years, 600 years in the making, but it all came true to Jesus. So if it came true to Jesus, just think about the promises that you're holding on to for your life right now. I just pray that it will come to pass. Just trust that he wants to build, right, faith, amazing faith in him that will result in peace in our lives. Don't we want to live that kind of life?
Yes.
We want to.
Yes.
We want to. We want to. Lastly, I want you to write your notes. What the last thing we can learn from Elizabeth is remain steadfast or firm promises. And this is how the promise was fulfilled in the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Let's read at the ending of their story. Ready, go. 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, no. His name is John. See, this was so easy that Zechariah had forgotten the promise, right? But it was Elizabeth. He's saying, no. Remember what was promised? We cannot name him Junior Boy, right? He's not going to be Junior Boy. He's going to be named John, right? And this is how his life as John took place. Let's read it. At the end of that chapter 1, verse 80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. And if you know your Bible, you know the biblical story. Who is this guy, John? He is John the Baptist. Not because he went to a Baptist church now, right? Because what happened? Why is he John the Baptist? Yeah, he baptized many people. What was his baptism for? Atonement. Whoa, that's one big heavy-duty word, Tom. He baptized people to prepare them. Or actually said, you know what? I'm going to baptize you to turn away from your wrongdoings, from sin. Yeah, I don't want you to live that old life, right? Walk away from that. I'm going to baptize you and you for that. And baptizing them to prepare them for a what? A new way. A new about to come. Right? His relative. Who was that? Jesus. Right? That was his ministry. And his public ministry was great because this guy was living in the wilderness, right? He was like, oh, you know, disheveled maybe. I don't know. Look, you know, he's living in the wilderness, eating honey and locusts, whatever. But so he kind of looked, we can imagine living in the wilderness, right? So just think about him. And this is a picture I want you to see of, you know, of course, John the Baptist is on your left, right? Yes. And then who is the other guy? Jesus, right? Jesus. That was, I would say, his greatest moment. I'm sure he was just so excited that he got to be the one baptizing Jesus in the Jordan. And that started out Jesus' public ministry. Because right at that moment, if you read the account in Mark, when John baptized Jesus, the heavens opened up, and what happened? The Spirit came down like a dove. Right? That's why we have this, right? The Spirit coming down like a dove. It's a symbol of new hope. And that was so neat. And, you know, in the Jordan River, the Holy Land tour group from our church visited there. Did you know that? Right? And some of them got rededicated in the Jordan. And there were some that had not been baptized, and they got baptized in the River Jordan, just like Jesus did, just like John did. And to the other people that got baptized in the Jordan. So that was, again, the, you know, John the Baptist ministry with Jesus. And we have our own picture story of the two John the Baptists in our church. Yeah, it's not the Savior, but that's maybe the sound Savior. And who is that? Les Lichtenberg. Yeah, our sound Savior, right? Yay, he's getting, you know, like just this victorious time. And, of course, that's before Pastor Mike and Pastor Mark shaved off their scruffy little beards there. You know, they wanted to be like John the Baptist. But yes, that's the picture of that they experienced. And hey, I want to just share you an amazing story. You know, for those of you, Pam, you guys went and visited there when you guys went on your tour. Okay, yeah, it's called Yardenet. It's like the tourist place where people get rededicated and baptized in the Jordan. But you know, people go there. And I want to just share you this picture. There's a picture of that Mark account of Jesus's, John the Baptist of Jesus, right? And it's all in different languages. I mean, not all the languages in the world, but these famous languages like Finnish, Icelandic, Romanian. One of the last one. Guess what? The Hawaii Pigeon. Oh, man, I'm so excited. When I went to, oh, that's the kind of stuff, the version we get. So I like reading with you. And can you read it with me? If you can see them in your best pigeon. Ready, go. That time. Jesus come from Nazareth town, Galilee side, and John went baptizing him inside the Jordan River. Right then, Jesus went come up out of the water, and you know what? Jesus went see the sky broke open, and when spark God's Spirit coming down on top of him, just like one dove. And wow, had one voice from the sky went tell, hey, you my boy. I get choked love and aloha for you, and I stay real good inside, because of you. That's Hawaii Pigeon, for those of you who don't know this language. That's my language, but yeah, and yours, some of your language too, but yeah, it's there. And it's like, wow. And speaking of being there, I went on a Holy Land tour myself years ago. I got to be rededicated in those waters as well. And I want to just tell you a story of faith. I had worked, and for some of you know that I was an English teacher. I know it's hard to believe. I was an English teacher teaching foreigners English. Like, what kind of English are you teaching, right? And for many years of my life, and at that school, I had developed many friendships. And those friendships even remain today. One guy in particular was my good friend. And he's my good friend today. And we parted ways because I became a pastor. And he worked in, he took a job in the Pentagon. And he's working in the Pentagon and this international affairs guy. And I mean, he said, no, I don't believe in Jesus. Yeah, I went to school. I heard all those stories, but I don't believe in Jesus. And he would be just so not open. But he was so close to me. He was there for my birth of my son. We went on different kind of trips. And he's my friend. Every Christmas time, he comes back to Hawaii, and we do something adventurous. Right? In past years, I would go to Haleakala, and we'll go hiking in. We'll come out. And then I think 3 years, you know. Yes, I went. I went. Confess, I went. But we, you know, we did. What we're going to do again this year, right? But that's my friend. That's my friend. And this guy is 6'5". He's 6'5". He's tall, big guy. And I was with him those years. So we went our ways. I became a pastor. He went to the Pentagon and worked. Well, years went by, and I was in Waihewa Post Office one afternoon. So at that moment, after I called my friend, Vincent is his name. I said, Vincent, guess who I met in the Waihewa Post Office? Yeah, your old squeeze. You know what I mean? This girl, yeah. And we laughed, started laughing. Hey, and we started, hey, Vincent, you know what? I'm going to Israel. Right? I'm going to Israel. You go, yeah. And he tells me this, I let go. I said, what? You cannot just tell him that you don't even believe in God. He said, no, but this is like an important place geographically and politically. I like go. I'm thinking, you like go, right? Okay. And I'm already kind of lost faith that he'll come to know Christ, right? Because I've been debating with him. It's like, forget it already. You know what I mean? Forget it. God got to do something drastic to you for you see God. So anyway, He goes, so I talked to the director. I said, hey, is there an opening by chance that my friend could come? And he's not a believer. He's not even in Hawaii and everything else. And my director says, huh, interesting that you called. Yeah, somebody died. Yeah, and there's room. But, you know, good news is the guy's Christian. And Earl, that was just supposed to be your roommate. So catch this. My friend said, if your friend wants to go, he can be your roommate. Wow. My friend, of course, you know, he's living on his own. He's not married. He has money. It's not an issue. He gets to join our church. I went with another church, and we went there. Right? He's a 6'5 guy, and everyone was like tiny Asian people, right? 6'5 guys. We go on this trip, and we go to all these places that you'll eventually hear about our team that went, right? All these places, and we eventually get to the Yardanet Jordan River, right? And all of us are going to get rededicated and baptized, right? Catch this. I'm there, and my friend taps me on the shoulder. He says, Earl, it would be a great honor if you... I said, brother, you got to know Jesus first. He said, how can I deny that Jesus is living? I've been with you guys. I've seen Jesus in you guys. I've walked the footsteps of Jesus. And I get to baptize my friend in the Jordan River. He comes to faith on his trip. And I'm thinking, you know, I get tears even today. That's something I just didn't believe would happen. Didn't believe what happened came true, and not in my wildest dreams of how it would happen. I get to baptize my friend because he came to know Christ. Something I just didn't see, didn't realize it would happen. And I'm saying, church, today, there might be something that you're believing for, something you could say cannot happen. And I'm sure, like me, there's somebody in your family, somebody maybe a friend, somebody even you brought to church today thinking, man, I wonder what it would take for them to open their hearts to Jesus, right? You're thinking about that, right? How will that happen? And I would say to you, just trust in God that he's going to do something to bring them to faith. And my friend came to know Jesus. And I just want to pray that we would see that God, you know, we can learn from Elizabeth and know that he has great plans. You just got to wait for his timing to happen in your life. And your story is not over yet. He wants to fulfill the promises. And I want to believe for us as a church that we're right there for our property situation. Yes, yeah, we can't see it right now. But let me tell you, God sees it. And we just got to have great faith, amazing faith in this amazing God, this glorious God that brings us hope and will provide us peace. And we got to know that God's got it. Can you say that God's got it? Let's stand as we close. This is Paul's ending salutation part of his letter to the Corinthians. And he says this to them, and I want you to read it with me. And I want to read it as if he is speaking to you all today. Ready, go. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because there's a promise. Your labor in the Lord is what? Not in vain. Not going to be poho.
Nope.
Not going to be in vain.
Nope.
Not going to be all for naught.
Nope.
And some of you have been laboring, not say physically laboring, but you're laboring in your heart for something for God to fulfill in his promises, haven't you?
Yes.
I want to say to you, that's not my words, it's Paul's word to you. Stand what?
Firm.
In fact, in other words, be steadfast in God's promises. Be firm. Trust that he has plans for you and your family. Yes, it's hard times that you're going through right now, and you're laboring. You're laboring in prayer and trust. I would say, it says, don't worry about that. Your labor will not be in vain. I want you to hold on to that promise as well for your life. And whatever you're facing, we hold that promise, what we're facing right now for our church property. God's what? Got it. Can you say that? God's got it. God's got it. And you fill out that ending point in your life. God's got you. Got to trust that. And this morning, if you are here and you've been believing God and maybe your faith has been waning or you've lost hope, I will say that you're in a good place today. God is saying to you, don't lose hope. I've given you this promise. Maybe you're going through a hard time in your relationships with you have, because I know that's one reason why a lot of people come to church. I would say, you know what? Believe. Yes. Believe that God wants to reconcile that. He's a reconciler. In fact, I'm meeting with somebody right now because he called me out of the blue. Said, I need some help, Pastor. My marriage doesn't look good. Yeah. And I said, yeah. She wants to like divorce. I don't love her anymore. I said, wait, time out. So yeah. Is somebody pulling a gun to you? You got to get a divorce? And he said, no. I said, okay, good. Then don't just pause right now. Pause. Yeah, I've been pausing a long time. I've been waiting. I said, wait, pause. Let's pause with a plan. Okay, so okay, how pastor, okay? Yeah, he said, yeah, I know she get issues. I said, yeah, she get issues, I know. But how about you? Yeah, I get issues too, you know? I don't know how to talk good, and every time I blow up, and it's okay, wait, you need help? Shoots, let's get together, let's work on that. Let's talk story, let's I can help you. Let's believe God to help you, okay. So he said, you know what? I'm not gonna go through with this divorce then. Is that good news?
Yes, it is.
And I, you know, at this point, I'm gonna have faith to believe for him. Yes. He doesn't have faith. What he sees doesn't seem possible. I'm just going to have faith. Amen. God is going to do something. And whatever you are facing, maybe somebody needs to have faith for you. Hallelujah. But you know what? Faith for you, because we have a faithful God.
That's right. Amen to that. Yes, he is.
God, we've heard this message today. And I pray that you won't leave here with the same fate you had yet. You would leave with a fate welling up in you to say, God, you will come through whatever you need to come through on. Yes. Would you close your eyes? And Lord Jesus, right now, yes. You are the promised one, that you came. Yes. Heaven, Jesus, come in the world. And right now, Jesus, I choose in a symbolic way to place my hand, my cup, my hand in front of me, to hold that in my arm, what I'm hoping for, because you have promised me that, and I don't want to wane in my faith over that promise that you've given me right now that you will fulfill that. Yes, I'm going through a hard time. Yes, I'm circumstances around me don't look good, but I don't look at that to define your promises. I look to you, what I cannot see. I want to live by faith. I want to remain steadfast. So right now, I hold that in my hand right now. And right now, I choose to ask you to give me that kind of faith that can trust you. As everyone, Heavenly Father, has placed that in your hand, in their hands, you've promised them for. I pray that you would see that and you would grant them that in due time. And even right now, if there's somebody in this service right now that has never opened their heart to you, Jesus, I want to pray with them that they would open up their hearts for you. And the greatest promise that you could fulfill in their lives is the promise that they will have you as their Savior in this Christmas. Is if that's you this morning and you're here, you've never said yes to Christ, open up your heart. I want to pray with you this morning. Would you raise your hand? Is that you? Anybody here this morning that wants to say, yes, I want to receive Jesus in my heart? Anyone like that this morning? Anyone like that? Anyone like that? Lord Jesus, right now, seem like everyone has said yes to you. So with that, trusting in your perfect and great promises for them, that you would produce not only hope, but unexplainable peace that is beyond what the world can understand. So Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your Spirit. We receive that unto ourselves, and we give you now the praise and the glory you deserve as our amazing Savior. Go ahead, church. Would you give Jesus a clap offering right now? Yeah.